For many of you, your pets are more than just pets. They're part of the family. And I know some people are already tweeting that I should get a puppy. That's how much this is a big issue. You love your pets. You take care of them, pat them, feed them. But do we need to be more aware of what we actually feed them? The dog food industry is back in the spotlight because there has been a jump in the number of cases of megaesophagus. It's a condition which has been linked to a particular brand of dog food. Dr. Paula Parker is the National President of the Australian Veterinary Association. Welcome to RN Drive.
Thank you.
So the number of megaesophagus cases has jumped from 74 to over 100. First of all, can you explain what this is and if I'm saying it correctly?
Yeah. So the condition's called megaesophagus. And what that means is the esophagus, which is the muscular tube that carries food from the stomach through, through the chest to the stomach, isn't being a nice sort of muscular tube. It's kind of floppy and it's not moving food along as it should. And that can happen for a couple of reasons. It can happen congenitally. Some animals are born like that. Can happen because there's been a trauma to the esophagus, or it can happen because the muscles and the nerves aren't talking to each other to keep that tube in a nice sort of in a nice form.
How do dogs usually get the condition?
Yeah, so most often we'll see dogs with this condition because they've come into contact with a toxin. So most often we'll see it, particularly on the east coast of Australia, with dogs that have been bitten by snakes or had tick paralysis. And because they interfere with the junction between the nerves and the muscles, you'll get individual cases with this megaesophagus. And those cases are usually pretty easy to detect because they've got other signs because of their toxicity. And very sporadically, you'll see cases of megaesophagus that is because of another toxin or potentially because the body's attacking itself at that junction between the nerves and the muscles. And so you have a couple of obvious causes of megaesophagus which you work through, but there's about sort of 30 or so documented causes of megaesophagus. So when you get one of these cases in, it's about systematically working through all of those possible causes. And it's really rare to see an outbreak of cases like we are at the moment.
So scientists at Melbourne University have linked the condition to advanced Dermacare dry dog food. How is that possible?
Yeah, so what we've seen, as I said, it's unusual to see such a number of cases or an outbreak situation. And what they found is consistently an association between these dogs having megaesophagus, not having any of the other possible causes that we know to be linked to megaesophagus, and eating the food. And what they've been doing at Melbourne University and Advanced Pet Care have been doing, looking through of can we find what it is in the food that's causing the change in the body. And at this stage, they can't find on a compound or a molecular level what's causing the change, but they're consistently having the association with the food.
How is the pet food industry regulated at the moment?
So regulation for pet food in Australia is about compliance with a voluntary standard. So there's an Australian standard for the manufacture of pet food, and the standard is good and robust, but compliance with the standard is only voluntary. So there are a lot of really good pet food manufacturers that go through the effort and the expense of being compliant with the standard, but not everybody is. And there isn't a regulatory framework to enforce non-compliance with the standard.
So if you are good, as you say, and you've gone through the process of doing all the right things, there's no obligation. Does everyone have to publish that they're doing the right thing or not? Is that also not part of it?
Yeah, so if you're compliant with the standard, it's a kind of industry regulated thing through the Pet Food Industry Association. And so if you're compliant with the standard, there's an auditing process that they do, and those manufacturers have the ability to advertise that they are compliant with the industry standard. So pet owners can look on their bag of food and look on the Pet Food Industry Association website to see, is the food that they're feeding their pet compliant with the standard?
Have any pet owners taken legal action over this?
Not that we're aware of. At this stage, in relation to this issue, the Advanced Pet Care is working with the investigatory team at Melbourne University, and they've instituted a voluntary recall. And everybody's focused on identifying what the underlying cause is and trying to help the dogs get better as much as we can and as soon as we can. but we're not aware of any legal action at this stage.
I've got a question. Obviously, I'm assuming this person has a cat. Can cats get this problem from their food?
It's not a condition that we're seeing in cats in an outbreak situation at the moment. So the current situation that we're seeing is selected to dogs that have been fed this particular advanced Dermacare food. And the ability for cats to have changes in their esophagus is different to dogs because the anatomy and the muscle type of the esophagus in cats is quite different to dogs. So we don't see them develop mega esophagus like we do with dogs from any cause, really.
What needs to change about the way the industry is regulated? What would you like to see happen?
So there are a couple of things. I guess ultimately we'd like to see everybody be compliant with the Australian standards. So consumers have the ability to know that the food that they're feeding meets the minimum standards. And in this case, we've had a pet food manufacturer who has voluntarily withdrawn their food and is participating in investigation. And as being a good citizen, they're obviously distraught by what's happened, but they're doing everything that they can to try and resolve the situation. But if we were to look to the future, if this were to happen again, it's about what are the reasons for a pet food company to do that, and it relies on their responsibility. So ideally, we'd have a regulatory system in place such that if there is non-compliance with the standard or if there is an outbreak, there's a regulator that can enforce product recalls, and there's also a regulator that can do investigation.
More broadly, should pet owners be thinking more about the nutrition of their pets? Is that in the thinking of pet owners?
It absolutely should be. And just like us, what you feed your pet, what you put in is a big part of what you get out. And having a diet that's complete and balanced for all of their needs is an essential part of them living a healthy and happy and long life. Particularly at the current time where there's no regulatory framework around pet food, it's really important that pet owners have a conversation with their vet about what the best food is for their pet so they can make sure that they're feeding the food that is complete and balanced for their needs and complete and balanced for their life stage, because puppies need different things from older dogs. And there are a lot of nutritional deficiencies that we sort of used to see 30 or 40 years ago that because of advances in science and technology, we're not seeing anymore. But one of the things we're conscious of is that if we don't pay attention to making sure all of these pets are being fed the right food, you can get re-emergence of some of these diseases.
Is one of the problems that some of this pet food that's causing these problems is actually cheaper? Is there a sort of pricing issue here too?
Sometimes it can be, and like most things, it does, to do things really well, then costs a little bit more money. And generally with pet food, you get what you pay for. So if you're investing in a premium food, the company that does more research and development and has got less fillers in the food, and it's about getting not only the minimum requirements, but the ideal requirements for that pet and that life stage. So what we'd recommend is that pet owners do chat about that with their vet and that they are getting that premium quality food and they're not getting a food that has premium marketing.
Dr. Parker, thanks for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. Paula Parker is the National President of the Australian Veterinary Association.